Welcome to this week's edition of Week in Ag Matters. Hosting here this week is Dustin Hoffman, supervising editor of the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, and myself, Anna Hastert, digital editor and farm broadcaster.
So I don't even get to introduce myself like I allowed you to do last week?
No.
I didn't know this was the Weekend Anna show.
Yeah, this week it is.
Weekend Anna Matters?
It's usually the Weekend Ken show, and since Ken has gone on vacation last week, it was the Weekend Dustin show, so it's only fair that it's my turn this week. You know, have like a little rotation. Everybody gets a little spice of all of us.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it, yeah.
Or taste. I think taste is better.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll just go along with whatever you think.
All right. Sounds really good. Mm-hmm. So, Dustin, this week you've been traveling. The office has been pretty quiet this week. I'm not going to lie. But that's beside the point. Where have you been?
Well, I started off Monday going up to Cherokee. KCHE hosted their Ag Appreciation Day. They had invited farmers and consumers in, because like they said, without consumers, we have no producers. And invited them in for a free lunch that was grilled by the Cherokee County pork producers and the Cherokee County cattlemen. They actually asked me to come and speak at the event and talk to them about some of the things going on in agriculture, give them some insight as to what's going on and affecting Iowa farmers. So I was honored to come up and do that and visit with the farmers up there and get to know some of the people in Cherokee County.
Very nice.
On Wednesday, I went down to Osceola. Bayer invited me to come down and attend one of their dicamba training sessions. We talk about dicamba. We talk about the rules for dicamba. But we don't always get to be there for the training courses and really get to see hands-on what the farmers are seeing. And so by being down there, that gave me an opportunity to be there with the farmers and also hear what they're hearing and get the more in-depth explanation about the different rule changes that they're dealing with.
Anything new from that dicamba training that you took away there?
Some of the new changes, because the fact that Iowa does not do anything different than what the EPA mandates at the federal level. They're not like Minnesota or Nebraska or Missouri, where they have their own extended laws on that at the state level. A couple of things that changed was, the hours of operation. Now, they can now only spray between an hour after sunrise and 2 hours before sunset. Also, the biggest takeaway, and this was something that really is being driven home across the country, is everybody who uses dicamba has to be certified. Last year, one person on the farm could get certified and supervise other people doing it because that person was trained on how to apply it. This time, it's anybody who's working with it has to be certified, no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Yeah, and where can farmers or those who are interested in finding more information about these dicamba trainings that they still haven't attended but need to here because the window's narrowing here, where can they go to find more information about the training that you attended or upcoming trainings?
Well, the best thing to do is go right to your search browser and search Iowa dicamba training. The Agribusiness Association of Iowa puts out a schedule there. And we'll be talking more about that here coming up in the later segment of Weekend Ag Matters, but that's the best way to go about finding the schedule. But those in-person schedules are getting tight, and online might be your only option here very soon.
And Dustin, you're going to be traveling for our network a little bit more here in the upcoming months. Let's talk about where you're headed next.
Well, next to Friday, I'm heading up to Ames talking aquaculture with some of the people up there. So we're going to hear what's going on in that field. And or maybe not field in that lake, but aquaculture, I should say. But we're going to talk about that. And then the week after that, the 26th, I'm going to be in Clinton moderating their ag roundtable discussion that they do every year. And so we'll be going down there and hearing what's going on in that part of the state as well.
Very nice. And Dustin, besides you traveling this week, there was a lot of news that happened that we weren't necessarily expecting. In a way, we were because we knew these things would be coming eventually. But, there's never really a rough timeline. But one of the big things that happened this week was new news regarding the summertime sales of E15. Where are we kind of at with all of that right now?
Well, on Tuesday, the EPA finally released their rule that they were going to put forth and open the comment period on it to allow E15 year-round. And see, now that's got the support of many ag groups, ethanol groups, and farm state politicians here. And that's the main goal, is to get E15 year-round. However, part of the rule also dealt with RIN reform, the renewable identification numbers. And right now, there's been a lot of confusion on whether or not this reform is going to be good for the ethanol industry. Is it going to be more catered towards the petroleum industry? Has it become a trade-off? Some of the groups like the Renewable Fuels Association, Growth Energy, they had asked, even Senator Grassley had asked for that to be separated, the RIN reforms to be separated from the E15 year-round rule, because that way they felt there would be less of a challenge to getting that rule done earlier and getting that taken care of. We're only at 77 days and counting before the summer driving season starts on June 1st, so the clock is ticking on that. Now the RIN reforms, again, there's a lot of question marks on what good that's going to be, if it's going to be any good for the ethanol. But again, the clock is ticking on that. And that was kind of the better part of the news this week with E15. But we got some bad news come Thursday when there were still a few leftover 2017 small refiner waiver requests being sitting out there that had to be ruled on. Scott Pruitt, as we know, the former administrator of the EPA, had been giving them out like candy at Halloween to anybody and everybody. And that was what drew a lot of the ire of the ethanol industry. And that's really what opened up the discussion on pushing more ethanol production and E15 year-round. Not that it wasn't happening before, but it really put it front and center. And Andrew Wheeler, who had promised more transparency and to do a better job than what Scott Pruitt had done, turned around and granted all five of the waivers that were still remaining. So the ethanol industry not happy about that. In fact, two more waiver requests were received for 2018, which brings up to 39 total. But again, those numbers, the amount of demand destruction, as RFA put it, you know, you're talking about a loss to the ethanol industry that could be conservatively estimated, according to RFA, at $1 billion. It could easily, possibly be more.
Yeah, Dustin, we've been talking about making the summertime sales of E15 finally official for quite some time now. I think it's safe to say about a year now that these discussions have been going on, if not longer. Are you actually hopeful that we will see summertime sales of E15 for this 2019 summer driving period?
You know, I'm optimistic. I'm hoping they can do it. But, you know, that's going to require Washington doing something fast. And we know nothing gets done in Washington very quickly. They'd almost have to set a world record on getting a approval of a rule, especially since the comment period is open until April 29th. But you also look at, once you get into May, you're already starting to run into, you know, retailers having to make their orders for the summertime. You know, if retailers are going to jump on E15 and get on the bandwagon, they have to get new equipment in, new pumps, and they got to get those orders placed. And that's going to put a crunch time on them. That's going to be tough as well. Right now, I'm hopeful that maybe we can get E15 year-round without many challenges from the petroleum industry on that part. What happens on the RIN reform part is yet to be seen. But right now, I think the only ones that are going to benefit from it are the ones who already have E15 equipment in place that just aren't selling it during the summer months.
Yeah, Dustin, anything else that farmers or producers need to be keeping an eye out for here in the coming weeks in regards to E15, or just anything else that you've been covering here this week?
You know, with E15, we're going to keep following that and see if anything changes here. But again, just be listening into that. Right now, it's kind of wait and see what happens with the weather. That's been the biggest thing. We have, you know, flooding up in the northwestern part and west central part of the state. It's getting to that point where we're starting to chomp at the bit to get in the field. But it's whether or not Mother Nature is going to play nice with us the rest of the way.
Yeah, and hopefully we can actually see some fields dry out here soon. I know a lot of producers are kind of nervous. Are they going to be able to get into the fields on time? If not early, you know, a couple weeks ago on the show here, I talked about the benefits of planting your soybeans earlier than your corn. And so a big concern as to when and how soon we're going to be able to get into fields. We need things to dry out here soon. And I just saw a post here from one of our affiliates, KNEI. They shared a post about what the roads, the fields, everything else was like there in Guttenberg after all of these rains. And one of the bridges, actually, the Turkey River Bridge, had washed out from the ice building up against it, and it washed part of it away. So that's definitely affecting the rail that goes through that area. And yeah, our thoughts and prayers go out to those who have been affected by the weather. And hope that we can get some sunshine in the next coming weeks to dry things out.
You know, farmers are, you know, there hasn't been a lot of changes made from 2018 to 2019. They're optimistic that we're not going to deal with the same problems again, that this was just a weather fluke last year. But right now, Mother Nature still seems to be fighting pretty dirty.
All right, well, that's it for our opening commentary here on Week in Ag Matters. Stay tuned for more news and market information after the break.
Every producer has questions, like, what's my break-even on corn? What happens if I expand the herd? How much can I afford for cash rent? These and other financial questions can now be answered with Magnify, the revolutionary management software from Farm Credit Services of America. Magnify helps deliver the financial insights you want for the profit you need. Learn more at fcsamerica.com/magnify. Powered by Farm Credit.
March is Women's History Month. It's a time to honor women's contributions to society. Women are continuing to blaze trails in this world every day. At the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, we will be honoring women who have made a difference in agriculture. From producers to policy shapers, Iowa women have been at the forefront of the ag industry. Join Anna Hastert every Friday in March as she highlights an Iowa woman in agriculture. Reports can be heard on our Agribusiness Matters program and found on our website at iowaagnet.com.
Farming has gotten so complex, you need another you just to keep up with it all. You'll come close when you work with your FS Crop Specialist. They know your growing conditions and your land, working for you season to season, helping fine-tune decisions to ensure a healthy ROI. And they're constantly in training to learn about the latest in seed selection, crop protection, and nutrient management. Plus, they're achieving certification standards that exceed the industry. Contact your local FS Crop Specialist to learn more. FS, bringing you what's next.
Welcome back to Week in Ag Matters. Earlier this week, Allendale released its annual acreage survey results. Now, Allendale has been conducting the survey for 30-plus years now, and Greg McBride, who is a commodities broker with Allendale, talks about why Allendale conducts the survey each year and kind of the purpose behind it.
This is a way that we get ourselves ready for producing estimates ahead of the quarterly grain stocks and the big planted acreage report at the end of March every year. So we've been doing this now, I believe it's been about 30 years, and really it's an excuse for us to get out and actually just talk to our customers as they're getting ready for planting. It helps us set up our marketings with them and really gets an idea of who's sticking with their rotation, who's factoring in price and deciding to maybe go a little heavier on corn or a little heavier on beans.
Now, as I mentioned, Greg McBride is a commodities broker with Allendale. I speak with him every Monday, and he's featured in our opening market report. You can catch it here on KXEL or another Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network affiliate. A full list of our affiliates are listed at iowaagnet.com. Now, back to the survey results. Things are changing a little bit this year in regards to prospective plantings. Here's what producers are telling Allendale that they're going to produce this year.
This year it looks like we're falling in line a little bit with what the USDA released at their Ag Forum a few weeks ago. Our numbers came in with an increase of 2.3 million acres on corn to 91.475. That's just slightly lower than 92 that the Ag Forum suggested. Beans came in 4.9 million acres lower than last year at 84.263. So about three quarters of a million acres lower than the Ag Forum. And then the wheat actually did come in a little bit lower than last year, but slightly higher than what the Ag Forum is suggesting. We're at 47.414.
Now, Allendale conducts the survey to get a better idea of what the U.S. Department of Agriculture is going to release in its grain stocks and prospective plantings reports. Those two reports are scheduled to be released on Friday, March 29th this year. It's not only for them to get a better idea as to what those numbers are actually going to look like, but it's also to give producers a better idea of what farmers across the United States are looking to do this year in regards to planting, and also help them with their marketing plans.
This is more of a guideline for us as we go into these reports at the end of the month here. It helps them to kind of get an idea of, okay, I'm in the majority of people where I'm going slightly heavier on corn, or I'm sticking with my rotation, and you know, just so happens this year I'm a little heavier on corn. It also helps them to kind of understand that, okay, we have a, you know, we're going to have a big crop of corn, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to completely change where we go on production. So if you look at the implied production on corn, it goes to 14.81 or 8.85, which doesn't really change the ending stocks that badly. So it's going to be heavier on corn acres, but it's not going to change the ending stocks. Whereas the bean ending stocks on lower acres, that's still not going to change. We're still going to have the issues with ending stocks on beans. So that's something for them to think about. And as they start to prepare for selling cash, or even getting ready to plant and getting ready to market next year's crop, they want to be able to have an idea of, okay, where do the prices go from here?
So we're still a little ways out from the March 29th report day. But in the meantime, here's what McBride is actually encouraging you as a producer to do.
At this point, we've really got to keep our eyes on the USDA numbers now that we're getting them on a regular basis, and then pay attention to the numbers that and the ideas that are being thrown out by the Chinese trade negotiators, because once we start to get closer to a deal with that, that's going to help kind of push us along a little bit as we start to get firm numbers on what type of demand we'll see coming out of China when we do finally get a deal done.
Once again, that was Greg McBride, commodities broker with Allendale. You can catch him frequently on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. For more news and market information, I highly encourage you to visit our website, which is iowaagnet.com. You can also find more news and market information on our social media pages, such as Facebook and Twitter, under the handle at Iowa Ag Radio. I'm Anna Hofstra, reporting here on Weekend Ag Matters. We'll be back after the break.
Welcome back to Weekend Ag Matters here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Well, the weather this week has certainly made it feel a lot more like spring. Even peeking at the extended forecast can make one assume we may have turned a corner on the weather trends. Of course, this is all still up to Mother Nature. With the smell of spring in the air, it is no wonder farmers will be thinking more and more about getting into the fields. However, if you're using any dicamba products, such as the Extendamax portfolio from Bayer Crop Services, you will need to make sure your dicamba certification is up to date. If you were certified for last year, you need to recertify for 2019, just like you're going to need to recertify for 2020 as well. The opportunities for classroom-style training are running thin. There are opportunities for online training. You'll have to look at schedules remaining. The Agribusiness Association of Iowa has a training schedule as well as online training options on their website. Just type in Iowa Dicamba training schedule into your search engine of choice and you should easily find the link. After the training yesterday in Osceola, I had the chance to talk with Bayer's Ryan Rabishko. He talked with us about the changes in dicamba usage in 2019, especially as it pertains to the state of Iowa. Talking today with Ryan Rabishko of Bayer at the dicamba training session outside Osceola. Ryan, for one thing, a lot of difference from 2 weeks ago when we were talking and how nice it was down in Florida.
It's sure nice to see spring, I think, for many Iowans and others, that the spring is coming soon so we can get on with spring planting.
So today we had the dicamba training that Bayer helped sponsor and put together, and this is one of many events that Bayer has helped put on across the state of Iowa.
That's correct. As we sit here today, we've had over 100 events that Bayer has sponsored across the state of Iowa. As an example, nearly 3,500 farmers and applicators have gone through this training. And as you witnessed today, roughly about 90 minutes and really encompassed a lot of different aspects, not just on the dicamba labels, the Extendamax label to help farmers and applicators be successful, but, you know, what's good weed management and how, what are just good overall practices to help farmers farmers in their operations.
And also one in depth. I mean, we can see the bullet points all day long from the different organizations, whether it's the Department of Ag or from the EPA. We see those bullet points of information, the guidelines that have to be followed. But in here, you got a little more of the reasons why those applications have to be followed, those rules have to be followed.
The reasons why, but we also, it's important to highlight why farmers are taking time to go and want to use these technologies. Weeds are getting tougher to manage, and what we've seen in Iowa and across the U.S., significant rapid adoption of the Xtend technology. One, because they're seeing really strong yield performance. We've seen some record yields over the last couple of years, which in large part can be, Xtend was a part of that, and managing weeds effectively as well. That combination is the ideal combination to help farmers be successful as soybean growers.
And, of course, Bayer's interest in, obviously, the program and the training doesn't end with these sessions. Obviously, you have people that are going to go boots on the ground if something needs to be questioned. If there is any things that you see or you want to go back and take a look at how the dicamba application is affecting the crops, or if there's any weed resistance, you guys want to see it so you guys can stay on top of it.
As a company, Bayer's successful when farmers are successful. When they're having, a profitable soybean crop with clean fields and things that go with it, that's the combination. And as you mentioned, not only the training that we spent here today, but we've referenced things like our Xtend spray app. I mean, it's a free spray app to help farmers prepare. The 1-844 RR Xtend call center. So if they have questions as they leave the training or they prepare, that's easy access. If they have some concerns as we get into the growing season, something doesn't look right, they can give us a call, and similar individuals that are conducting the training will come out and walk your fields. So we're going to be, every step of the way with farmers to help support them and so they can be successful as well.
And you mentioned the website and the phone, and you're also giving them tools where they can go through and get more information on what they're doing or get those refreshers, because so the training doesn't end when they leave this room. I mean, if they want to go get that refresher, they can go to these websites, they can see the tools, they can also get the tools for checking what species are endangered, where there are extra restrictions in different counties, county by county in the state.
It is. I mean, and we know a lot of folks are looking at online material. So, RoundupReadyXtend.com is really the best website to get a lot of that information. Or if you feel more comfortable in calling, that's another option. In the end of the day, we want to make this as simple for farmers as we can so they can be successful when they're growing that soybean crop. And hopefully as growers, we had a number of growers here today. We've had, over 3,500 growers over the winter months attend these trainings. That also tells us there's a strong interest in anticipation of using these dicamba formulations this spring.
And, when we talked before the meeting, we talked about kind of the lessons learned. Things aren't where they were in 2017 where we saw some of the complaints. We saw some of the things that needed to be learned kind of the hard way. You mentioned that the acreage of usage is up and the complaint levels are down.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it from just a national perspective, an interesting figure is to think that over 25 million acres of soybeans and cotton, the Xtend soybeans and cotton, were actually sprayed with a dicamba in a post-emergent application. That's a lot of acres. And what we've learned from a few years back to where we are today is maybe what we've been able to do in past with other pesticides and herbicides, here's the common thing I hear from farmers coming and leaving the training or spraying themselves. Apply that common sense, follow the things that are guided in the label and that's required, and good things happen. And there's thousands of farmers across the U.S. that have used these technologies the last few years. Xtendimax is an example of that with extreme success, and they're doing those common practical things to lead to that success.
And as we are standing here, we're watching the snow melt and all the steam rising out of the ground, and that reminds us spring planting season. It's getting very close. So it also means the opportunities, if you haven't gotten your dicamba training, are winding down. Of course, there are options online as well.
There is. The best way, again, is going to RoundupReadyXtend.com website under the training tab. That'll give you, if you haven't completed that training, there's a couple. You can come to a live training. Those are still available, or you can complete that now within the state of Iowa online. But the best thing overall as we prepare for season, and farmers do this across the U.S., is, you know, plan. Well, you know, plan for what you're going to anticipate, you know, from a weed control perspective. And what we really recommend, and consistent with weed scientists, is, you know, the ideal circumstances, get weeds, you know, prevent weeds from coming up, you know, if at all possible, and if not, get them early. And so one of those is, you're thinking about those post-emergent applications, 20 to 30 days after that planting date is really the ideal sweet spot to go after those weeds and utilize new technologies like Xtendimax.
Now, the state of Iowa does not have any dicamba restrictions above and beyond what the EPA has designated for the use of the product. However, there are changes for 2019 that you will need to be aware of. Certifications. Now, every person who works with the dicamba product must be certified. It used to be one person could be certified and then could oversee other farm workers in the use of the chemical. Not anymore. Everybody who works with dicamba needs to be certified. The window for your reporting of spraying your dicamba products has changed as well. You no longer have 14 days to make your reports. You now have only 3. Yep, 72 hours to get that done. Bayer representatives recommended just filling out your reports when you're done with each field. Most tractors are using some sort of smart technology anyway, which would allow you to do it right from your cab. The hours of usage have changed as well. Dicamba now cannot be sprayed until 1 hour after sunrise, and you must be wrapped up by 2 hours before sunset. There's a full list of these changes, as well as, once again, the schedules of the remaining training sessions online through the Agribusiness Association of Iowa. Just search out Iowa Dicamba Training Schedule in your browser. Well, I think that's going to put the wraps on this weekend's edition of Weekend Ag Matters. For Anna Hastert and myself here at the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, we thank you for tuning in and have a great remainder of your weekend. We'll see you next time on Weekend Ag Matters.